ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba bam ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba.
What this lady says is true. Ba bu ba bu ba bam.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah.
Are you going to share with the class?
No, it's. I think for each of us, we must find it out on our own. It, for me to tell you would be cheating you.
All right.
You have to.
It's open for interpretation.
It has to be your own discovery. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll let you know when I discover it.
Wendy, who would you say is the smartest person on earth?
I don't know which way to go with this.
Like if you...
Albert Einstein, a lot of people
well,
say...
Well, Albert Einstein is no longer with us.
Oh, who's currently living?
Currently
not
alive,
ever.
Not of all time, because Albert Einstein would certainly be among the smartest people of all time. There's no doubt about that. But right now, of living people, people on the planet right now...
Stephen Hawking.
That would be my answer, too. And that's why what I'm about to tell you is so upsetting.
Is it The Rock? Because
no.
He seems to top every list we discuss.
No, Dwayne Johnson, although, you know, very resourceful, I don't know that anyone could make the solid argument that he's the smartest person on the planet. He's one of the biggest people on the planet.
In popularity and size?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he has to be that strong because to carry around that much money in your wallet, you need a lot of muscles.
My God, imagine the size of his wallet. It's like the ribs
wallet.
That go on the Fred Flintstone
right.
car.
Right.
God.
I've heard that he has wallets specially made for him overseas because here in the United States, there's no factory that can make a wallet that big. They have to farm it out to another country.
All right, Stephen Hawking is not the smartest man.
No, he is the smart in our opinion.
Yes,
in your
in
opinion,
most
my opinion, and most people who know, you know, the history of smart, they would say Stephen Hawking is the smartest man on earth. That's why this is so upsetting. Stephen Hawking said yesterday that humans need to leave the planet. The planet Earth in 100 years will be in
uninhabitable.
Yeah, you can't live here anymore. That's what he said. He didn't want to use.
It's funny we're talking about smart. You can't say that word.
Uninhabitable. You must leave the planet within 100 years. Now that's
didn't he say this before?
He said it a couple months ago. He hinted at the fact that in a generation or two, it's going to be very, very hard to live here. But now he says 100 years. That's it. Got to get off the planet. So that's upsetting in and of itself. But even more upsetting is that this is a story that nobody's talking about. That the smartest guy on Earth says. Boy, are we in trouble. We better find a plan B, and we better find it soon, because no one's going to be able to live here in 100 years. And it's even on the internet that's vast and has all kinds of stories. This is like on page 80.
Yeah, but why doesn't he give us the plan B then?
His job is to just say, you got to come up with a plan B. He doesn't have... like he's,
but he's the smartest guy in the world, so I don't trust anyone else to come up with the plan B.
He should... If I was putting together a team
yeah,
of guys,
would it be The Rock and who else?
Well, The Rock for sure. It would have been Kyle Schwarber, but now he's in the minors, so I'm not going to invite Kyle Schwarber.
He can still participate. He has more time now.
He's got to work on his hitting, Wendy. I want to agree with you, but I can't right now. I would have also said Trevor Van Riemsdyk, but he's moving.
No one can say that poor guy's name.
That's why they got rid of him. Yeah, Trevor Van. Kevin, that's sacrilegious. So I would find the smartest of the smart. I would have them led by Stephen Hawking, but I'd say, all right, Stephen, I agree. If you say that it is this dire that we get off the planet, let's do it, but figure it out. What do we do? Where do we go? And whatever he says, I would follow him.
I would trust him.
100 years, when you think about a planet, that's the blink of an eye. That's no time at all.
Yeah, that's not
that's
a I mean,
generation
we'll be long
and a
gone.
Half. Oh, yeah, you and I,
our kids will be gone.
Oh, that's sad.
I see, why do you come up with these things that sadden me?
But their kids will be evicted from the planet. Our grandchildren. They'll still be around for it. Right? They're not born yet.
They're not born yet, but they're probably going to be born in like the next...
Life expectancy will it be higher or lower? It just went down a little bit. All right, so even our grandchildren,
our great grandchildren,
Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
No wonder we're not part of this symposium. I got to tell you.
It actually says the first two people not invited to be on this were you and me. We were the first two people that Stephen Hawking said, yeah, I wouldn't even tell them that we're meeting. I would not mention this. But isn't that upsetting? Like, if the answer to this was 1,000 years, I would be upset. Oh, no, 1,000 years? And then the Earth is just going to be, you can't live on the Earth in 1,000 years? But 100 years? That's terrible.
That's too soon.
The Cubs just won a World Series for the first time in 108 years.
Never do it again now.
No, they'll still do it.
If the world's done in 100 years, it's going to take them another 108 years.
If their average is every 108 years, yeah, then...
What about Marilyn Vaux-Savant?
Yeah,
remember her?
I invite
Marilyn.
Her.
She's like the smartest. She was born in Missouri, and she's a columnist and author.
She's very smart.
She made history when she was named in the Guinness Book of World Records the person possessing the highest IQ, a score of 228.
That's excellent. I want her on the list. I want Neil deGrasse Tyson on the list. He should be there.
Can we do Bill Nye?
Bill Nye the Science Guy? Or the British actor, Bill Nye?
Well, the Science Guy.
Science Guy, he's in. I want him in. I want Uncle John from the Uncle John's Bathroom Reader.
He's pretty smart.
He's very smart. I want him in there for sure.
You know, Neil deGrasse
Tyson
is listed. Superscholar.org has put a list together of the smartest people. He's on it.
Him there. I think he should definitely be there.
He's an astrophysicist.
I want Brainiac from Superman Comics.
We got to do Lucienne.
Lucienne Walkowitz?
Yeah,
she should be. She's a scientist and she's smart. So put the, and she knows about space.
Yeah.
So if we're going somewhere else.
Maybe Lou Manfredini about building things.
Because
you're going to have to build stuff in the new, you know.
Say yes to Lou Manfredini.
That was a bit of a stall, and if he's listening, he's going to be very insulted.
I was just thinking.
We all have smarts for certain things.
Because Lou will also want Lindsay, his assistant.
She can come.
She can be there.
She has to assist.
Yeah. All right. So she'd be there. Ryan Salzwedel.
Now you're pushing it.
I thought that was a no-brainer.
Well, he also builds things. He's a problem solver. So, yeah. The guy from This Old House, is he still around?
Avila?
Yeah.
No, you got Lou Manfredini. He can cover that. He'll teach others how to do it, and I'll be included.
Well, you and I are the first people not included.
I know.
So even though we'd like to think we're getting a vote, we're not getting a vote. There's no way we're getting a vote.
Gary Kasparov?
Oh, the chess player?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be at least one chess player.
Well, yeah, because you need strategy in a new colony.
Right. Yeah, this is like it becomes like a chess match. So, yeah, Gary Kasparov probably. Is Bobby Fischer still alive?
I think so.
He's also a chess guy. And if you're inviting chess guys, you're going to want somebody who's really good at checkers, too.
Maybe George Takei as well. He's got the space experience.
Space.
He played Mr. Sulu.
It's
but
the same thing.
Shatner. You got to have Shatner on the planning. He's not going to be around.
Shatner doesn't always work well with others.
That's true.
I'm not positive you want to go Shatner.
Michael has called us at 312-235-2525, and I'm sure happy he did because you have an idea, too. Who else should... Good.
We're upset. You know, in 100 years, no more Earth.
Hey, listen, you're forgetting one really important guy.
Who's this?
We need George Clooney so he can make us tequila.
And he does do everything.
He's a Renaissance man.
He is.
Yeah.
Well, and on top of the fact, every woman out there is going to want to have sex, so he'll be able to, you know, repopulate really easily. And listen, there are two more people you're completely forgetting.
Who are very smart.
No, Bill and Wendy. Come on,
we're forbidden.
They won't let us in.
We can't be in the committee.
They don't want us in it.
Oh, we got to have you guys entertained. There's nobody better. Come on.
Michael, you're sweet.
We'll bring you if we get in, but we're not going to get in.
They're not going to let us in.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Michael. We really love
your show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
That's very kind of him, but I don't see that happening.
This is scary. 100 years is not long enough.
100 years is literally the blink of an eye. When you're talking about the life of a planet, 100 years is that. It's a snap of a finger. And to not be able to live on this planet, which has been good to us. We have not been good to it, but it has been good to us.
We haven't been good to it.
No, we've not.
Much hairspray.
Yep. I've seen you on days where there's nothing to do. You'll take a bottle of Alberto VO5 and just spray it in the air. And I'm like, Wendy, that's not good for the environment.
Mm-mm.
I don't care. That's no way to be.
Although I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't waste it. I need it on my hair.
Do we need to build... I know I watch a lot of sci-fi movies, so maybe I'm tainted by that. But is this the time where we need to start building giant space arcs? Has it come to that?
What do those do?
Transport us, hopefully, to another world that we can inhabit. That's a staple of a science fiction movie is somebody goes, we must retreat to the space arcs.
And with that said, we need to recruit Elon Musk.
Elon Musk should be on the list, by the way.
He totally should be on that list.
He should definitely be on the list. Yeah, and Richard Branson, too.
Why? Is he going to set up a variety town once we get there?
You're thinking of Branson, Missouri.
Oh.
That's why you and I are not allowed on the space arc.
I kill me sometimes.
That is the main
Who's
reason.
Who's Richard Branson again?
Virgin Airlines.
Oh yeah. All right.
He's a think guy. Maybe Mark Cuban, too.
Mark Cuban should definitely be in on this. Yeah. How do we get this symposium of people together to make the plan B?
I'm gonna put out an e-blast.
Yeah, but the space arcs, if I'm thinking correctly, right now we don't have a place to arc to.
That's the problem. Is once
you
people
just be shot out into the galaxy.
We need to. I think one of our first priorities is to find a place for the space arcs to go because, people will be wise to that once they go. Hey, I'm just curious where we headed, and then we're like, boy,
good
we
luck.
Hadn't thought about that. We were so busy, Lou Manfredini, we were putting in soffit and fascia. We didn't stop and think, where are we going? So we got to have that down, certainly.
Well, I would love... Could we ever talk to Stephen Hawking? Does he ever do interviews with two
interviews.
Local yokels from Chicago?
I think once he heard a tape of the show, I think that plan would be out the window.
Because I really would like to pick his brain to find out,
This is so upsetting.
Does he give reasons why?
Yeah, it's mostly environmental, but some of it has to do with, there's
the temperament of people.
Yeah, everybody's wars. At each other's throats. Yeah, there's war. The mere fact that we're not taking care of things that need to be taken care of, it all adds up.
The good news is the Washington Post is reporting that President Donald Trump, God, I couldn't say
Trevor
it.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Donald Trump says he does not have any tapes of the James Comey conversations, even though he threatened it.
Right. That turned out to be false.
So that has bought us maybe another year.
That bought us
now 101
not a full
years.
Year. Let's say 5 more months, 6 more months. That's not enough time. All right. We will take a little break. Judy Pilak, whose name comes up a lot when you're trying to figure out, where are we going, what planet are we going to, and who's going to repopulate.
What planet is she from?
That has come up a couple times. We'll get Judy in here. She'll give you the news, and then there's more show coming your way. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Spectacular job, Judy. Off the charts. Off the charts good.
I wish you could stay and hang, but are you needed in the newsroom?
Yeah, I got to go tweet some stuff.
All right. All right.
I am needed in the newsroom.
That's a news term that I don't understand.
Yeah, well.
You guys have your own lexicon up there in the newsroom. Thank you, Judy. We'll see you tomorrow. Wendy, an alert just came out, a CNN alert that we can certainly talk about.
Yeah, I didn't hear this. Evidently, you are more plugged in than I am. But coming out of CNN.com, 10 of the 12 jurors in Bill Cosby's assault trial voted to convict the comedian.
Right.
On two counts of aggravated indecent assault. But the case obviously turned out to be a mistrial. Two people on the panel continued to hold out. Does that surprise you, or is that... I thought there was one holdout. I thought it was 11-1.
Well, until yesterday, we didn't know how the voting went. But, yeah, there were two. It doesn't matter. If there's one, that's all it takes.
Right.
So there were two. So now they'll do another trial.
Which, I guess that makes me satisfied with our judicial system.
Yeah.
Because...
Does it?
It Why? Does. Because, and I've mentioned this 100 times, I do want to be a juror someday, and I do want to be able to have unbiased opinions of the actual case and not what happened before or after.
Right.
But if I really strongly disagreed, if I was the solo holdout, I would want to be able to say, listen, guys, I would love us all to go home and be home with our family for dinner, but I can't
this
in my heart
important.
Let this go. So I'm glad that no one's giving in to peer pressure, which I got to be honest with you, it seems like everybody bullies everybody these days, and probably the term bully is used too much.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised that these two jurors didn't just go, all right, whatever, let's end this.
No, I give them credit to sticking to their convictions.
And then another trial is going to happen. I know it's more money and more time, and where are you going to find 12 jurors?
Well,
especially after this.
See, the thing is, and we've talked about this, is that it's commonly believed that you can't have any knowledge of the case.
That can't happen
but
anymore.
But that's impossible. So what it actually is you can't already have a preconceived notion of innocence or guilt. They really stress that during the process. And you want that. You want it to play out in front of you. You want both sides to make their case. I almost wouldn't want to be a juror on a case like this.
No.
Or any major case, because I wouldn't want to get it wrong. I would hate to send a guy to jail for life. Essentially,
because they're a celebrity, I wouldn't want to send anybody wrongly.
But Bill Cosby, because of his age,
I don't know why you keep bringing
that up. Because he'll be in for life.
Well,
if he's in, he's in for
that's
life.
That's the price you pay.
No, it is. No, I get that. But all right, so let's say it's not Bill Cosby's case. The same way you keep saying, boy, I'd love to be on a jury, I keep saying, I don't want to be on a jury of a case that's an important case because I don't want to get it wrong.
Right, like murder or something like this.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a property dispute.
Yeah,
wouldn't
if it's
be,
something
yeah.
like that,
I understand.
Count me in. But I wouldn't be embarrassed if I was up for jury selection. I would say that. I'd go, I can't tell you how nervous I'd be that I would get this wrong, because I don't want to get it wrong on either side. I don't want to send somebody to jail or to death row who didn't
right.
do it.
But or if somebody let them
did
walk.
Do it, yeah.
I agree. It's got to be difficult. There was a juror, I guess the judge has released the names. CNN has tried to reach most of the jurors, but has not gotten responses from them. On Thursday, the door of one juror's home had a note saying, quote, no interviews, please do not ring bell.
They shouldn't release the names of the jurors, should they?
I don't know.
I think if a juror wants to come forward and tell his or her story, that's one thing. But I'm uncomfortable with them releasing the name.
After requests from media outlets, including CNN, Judge Stephen O'Neill decided to release the names while keeping the jury deliberations confidential, according to a court document. Why do they have to release the names?
I'm not sure why. Shouldn't that be
the Freedom of Information Act?
I guess so, but I don't know what the benefit is in giving out the names of jurors.
Prosecutors have said they will retry the case. The court emphasized that jurors are not allowed to disclose the opinions and thoughts of their fellow jurors, as well as any arguments or comments made or votes cast by fellow jurors during deliberation. The names were released to the public after the court contacted the jurors and gave them instructions.
It's interesting they say that, because haven't jurors in the past gone on shows, you know, like 2020 and stuff like that, and said, well, here's what went on behind the scenes, and then they tell you the whole story. So it's interesting that they say point blank they're told not to do this, because I've seen them do it.
You want some of the post-trial instructions for the jurors?
Sure.
The judge acknowledged the freedom of the press, stating there is no law forbidding reporters to question discharged jurors, adding that a juror can decline to be interviewed at any time. The document said the court had significant concerns over publishing the names during the trial when attempts to interview jurors' families and friends who would likely have contacted those jurors would have caused consternation and distraction from their sworn duty.
Here's why it scares me. Let's say they found Bill Cosby guilty and Bill Cosby goes to jail, and there's some rabid fan that loves Bill Cosby. And he goes, oh, now I know the names of the people. I can find their addresses online, the names of the people who sent my hero to jail.
I agree with you. That could put the juror and or their family
in some sort of jeopardy.
Yeah, in danger. The prosecution filed a memorandum opposing the release of the name, saying it could have a chilling effect on future jurors and could impair both parties' right to a fair and impartial trial. The defense team later joined that request, but after balancing the rights of all parties, the court decided to release the names, according to the document.
Yeah, I'm confused about I don't know what the benefit is of giving that information.
And
out.
I'm wondering if it wasn't a mistrial, like if there was a verdict, would they still have released the names?
I don't know the answer to that. But I don't think, regardless of whether it's a mistrial or not, I would almost want some sort of guarantee that my name's not given.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
That doesn't seem right.
It's one thing, I know we've talked about it, you know, there are a lot of people who still walk around today saying, when I win the lotto, which I don't play, so I don't say it anymore.
Yeah,
I used to.
Right.
I used to say it rather than play it. Yeah. But, you know, you had said that you don't want to come forward, but you have to come forward. It's part of the deal because they have to show that there was a winner. With something like this.
Right.
I don't understand why they would release this.
There's no benefit to it, I don't think.
All right, well, that's
interesting. And then what happens to jurors? Every once in a while, you'll have a juror on a major case that writes a book about it. If they've already agreed to this, like what you just said was they're not supposed to talk about what any of the other jurors thought during the process.
But what's there to talk about then?
Well, just the mere, like, I'm interested in knowing what the conversation was in the jurors' room with the 12 of them as 10 of them were saying, look, this guy couldn't be more guilty, and then two of them are finding a reason to not find him guilty. I'd love to hear the back and forth.
I would too, but allegedly they're not supposed to do that. And they were sequestered for 12 days.
Right. Oh, was it 12 days? Was it that
long? That's what, according to the CNN story.
It didn't seem that long, but I wasn't sequestered.
No, it didn't. It was they were sequestered for the 12 days of the trial and deliberations.
Oh, trial and deliberation together? Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. They think they did 50-some hours of deliberations, which, I honest to God, at some point you feel like you'd go, oh, God, just make this end.
Right.
Sure, put me down. I'm glad they didn't.
There's got to be an element of that as the days are going on and you're going, how long can this thing possibly last? And 12 days is by far not the long. I mean, O.J. Simpson is the easiest one to look at, but any major trial that goes on for sometimes weeks or months, it must be horrible to be a juror, you know, for weeks or months at a time.
And now I've also heard word that O.J. Simpson up for parole in October and very well may be released.
Yeah, they think he'll be released. Wow. Did you think you'd see that anytime soon?
I didn't really, but I still can't believe that he was arrested for some memorabilia show because he had a weapon and wanted to get his stuff back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So the crime on that.
So what does he do? Let's say they let O.J. Simpson out. What's his next career move?
Reality show.
I bet you're right. That would make perfect sense.
He turns 70. He goes up for parole. Is it next month? I thought I heard October. This is Yahoo News.
I want to say October too, for some reason.
He's just
in time for Halloween. Think he'll get a lot of trick or treaters at the house? Well, this guy's dressed like O.J. Simpson. Great costume. I just saw an interview with Cato Kaelin.
What is he doing now?
It's the weirdest thing. So they talk to Cato Kaelin and they want to know his thoughts about O.J. Simpson and whether or not he should be released. And Cato Kaelin, just being himself, he's still Cato Kaelin. He doesn't have as much hair, but he's still kind of that kind of frivolous attitude. So then the last question is, they go, do you have a guest house? To Cato Kaelin. And he goes, yeah, I have a guest house, which I would have lost all my money if I bet on that, because I wouldn't have thought Cato Kaelin even had a house, much less a guest house. So they said, would you, if O.J. Simpson came to you and said, could I stay in your guest house, would you let him stay? And he goes, oh, no, absolutely not. And then I went, that's weird. You're only famous because you stayed in that guy's guest house. There's no other reason anyone on the planet would know who Cato Kaelin was.
Yeah, but he doesn't need him now. What are you saying? He's being unloyal to the juice?
Yeah. Like if I was...
Wouldn't you wash your hands of juice as a friend?
Yes, I would.
Now you're criticizing Cato for doing the same
thing. But he's only famous because he was, they called him the world's most famous house guest.
Yeah.
That's all he did was sleep at O.J. Simpson's house at a very trying time for the Simpson family. So you would think, boy, if you owe him something. I don't know if it's...
No.
You don't think so?
You don't owe O.J. Simpson anything at this point.
No. Well, he won't let him stay in his guest house.
O.J., his official parole hearing date is July 20th.
Oh.
So next month.
Yeah, it's coming up.
And if this according to TMZ Sports, which it kills me that TMZ is really a reputable...
They are.
...news service at this
point.
They're
the ones who interviewed Cato Kaelin. That's where I saw that on TMZ yesterday. Seriously. That's where it was.
A rep for the Nevada's Board of Parole Commissioners has confirmed the date. That's July 20th. That's when the official parole hearing is. If things go well, Simpson could be released as early as October 1st, just in time for Halloween, yeah. As you pointed out.
Yay.
Simpson will not attend the hearing in person. He will be video conferenced in from the Lovelock Correctional Center in Nevada. And 69-year-old Simpson was arrested in 2007 on several armed robbery and kidnapping charges after stealing sports memorabilia from a Vegas hotel room. He was convicted in 2008, has been locked up ever since, sentenced to 33 years in prison, which seems like a very long term. So you wonder how they could not think of what people accused him of doing in the past. Because, well,
they always said that this was a make good.
Right.
That they were going to... They were going to find something.
But I thought that was illegal, that you can't do that. You can't think of other...
I think it's probably illegal, but I'd be shocked if it was the only time it's ever happened.
I agree.
I think they keep an extra special eye on him, right?
Yeah.
Did they ever find the actual murderer?
No, that's what he's going to do October 2nd after he gets out.
He's going to go back to look for the murderer?
He was sentenced to 33 years in prison in 2008 with the eligibility for parole after 9 years. And I just can't believe what a phenom this guy was.
I know.
I was thinking back of when he was hosting SNL, and he was Walter Payton was just about ready to break his record.
Was there a voodoo doll?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was so exciting for us as Chicagoans because, you know, O.J. Simpson was this... unbelievable talent, yeah. And now our guy Walter Payton Sweetness is going to beat his record.
Right.
I totally remember that, and he was funny in the movies, and
he was so good in Towering Inferno. He was the guy that caused the fire in Towering Inferno.
Spoiler alert!
No, you're right. Fair. That's true. I'm sorry. He had nothing to do with the fire in Towering Inferno.
Experts are really saying that he's going to be released. What happens? What does Ron Goldman's dad, Fred, do at this point?
Wouldn't that be upsetting if you're him?
And he owes them so much money. If he does this reality show, I thought he couldn't profit from anything based on those murders.
Yeah, wasn't there some lawsuit against him because all the money that was promised the Goldman family never came to fruition? He never paid out any of that money. He claimed he didn't have enough income coming in. But he still has. I mean, he's got all kinds of property and stuff like that.
So why don't they take that away?
I can't figure out
justice
why
justice has not been
away.
Served no. For the poor Goldman family.
Nope, not this time.
And the Browns,
right.
Quite honestly.
Right.
All right, well, that could happen October 1st.
Yeah.
Don't go trick-or-treating.
No.
That's my only
No, that's
thought.
Good advice. Solid advice. We will take a quick break. We'll come back because we have more show. That's why it's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Oh, there I am. I lost me for a minute, Wendy. I got all nervous. I thought I was lost.
You have one button.
I'm lucky I have one button. I wouldn't give me one button. If it was up to me, I'd say that's one button too many. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN. This is not a guessing game. The purpose of this stream of consciousness is not to be a guessing game. But every once in a while, I find something and I say, I'm going to run this past Wendy and see if she can figure it out. If I said to you that somebody has invented something called the cage, what do you think the cage is?
The cage.
They have invented something. This is the only clue I'll give you. Two guys have invented something that's taking the world by storm, and it's called the cage. What is that? If I were to sell you a cage, what would you be buying from me?
Well, of course, your brain goes to it's a cage within a cage.
You're on the right track. You're
but
not
why
quite
would you
there.
Need that?
Why would you need a cage within a cage?
I don't know. Are we doing the rest of the show in haikus?
No. Although that would be fun.
It would.
I would love to do that sometime with you. A cage is something invented by two guys, Mike Lacker, who is a writer and a developer, and Chris Baker, who calls himself a maker of things on the internet. That's his official title. He's maker of things on the internet. What it is a VR simulator.
Virtual reality.
Virtual reality simulator. Thank you. And when you play this, you wear a headset, a VR virtual reality headset, and it creates a cage. It makes you feel as though you're in a cage. But through the bars of the cage, you can watch Nicolas Cage movies.
This is much like your tattoo. You should hook up with this guy, these guys.
It's very similar to my Hervé Valachez tattoo. But this is even This is even smarter because they went through with it. I'm all talk. These guys went through with it and created this simulator.
And who's purchasing it?
Nobody.
Nicolas Cage, even?
Even he doesn't want one. Thanks, but no thanks. I'll get my entertainment elsewhere, thank you very much.
Yeah, entertainment is key there.
Yes, it is.
Although, Nick, you've been good in movies.
I've been good at action adventure.
Yeah.
Wendy, there's a bomb behind you. Run. Do you want to buy that?
That's some great acting there, Nick.
I don't know who would buy this, although I was tempted to try it out, but I don't have the capability at my house. We're not set up for VR at my house. So I can't even there. You can get a demo of this, but I'm not set up for it. So I don't know how accurate it would be.
Well, you could still look at it just to get the gist of it.
Right.
It just wouldn't be, you know, surround sound cage.
Right.
So you look out and it looks like you're in a cage and you're watching Nicolas Cage movies.
Yeah. Isn't that fun?
No. Why don't you just watch Nicolas Cage movies?
I think you could do that, but they want you to feel more
trapped?
Immersive. Well, yeah, I guess trapped is actually a better word for it.
Is that the way that you watch a Nicolas Cage movie when you're trapped?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the better way. So there are some movies that would probably lend itself better, like the National Treasure movies would be fun to watch like this. Face Off, which is a classic.
That's a great movie. Yeah. I'm sorry. That is a really good movie.
Yeah, and very realistic. Don't you find?
I don't know when to believe you.
I think the government won't admit to this, but there are many times where there's a good guy and a bad guy, and through various circumstances, they switch faces.
I believe that could happen with plastic surgery.
It could absolutely happen.
I think it was realistic. I can suspend belief when I'm watching a thriller.
Thank you for saying that, Wendy, because a lot of people can't. So get yourself a cage. They're all the rage. I'm going to sell them that as their tagline.
Rage.
I'm sorry, Kev?
Rage.
Rage.
Yeah.
Cage against the machine.
All right. Do you know that Nicolas Cage has acted in more than 80 movies during his career? How many more than you?
78 more than I have.
All right, then.
What room do I have to criticize? I've only been in 2 movies.
But
my ratio of good movies to bad movies is better than his. I've been in 1 good movie and 1 bad movie. He's been in 80 movies and only 4 of them have been good.
Yeah, all right.
Matchstick Men is I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking about the greatest actors. Matchstick Men is a great movie. Every once in a while, he shows up in something and he's great.
I don't know how many movies I've seen of his.
You got to watch them all. You got to watch them back to back. I know you like to binge watch. What's better than throwing on the cage and watching one after another after another? 80 movies? That wouldn't take long at all.
I'm not doing it. I did start binge watching something that you should do. I watched the new Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are 6 episodes that are out, and I've watched those, and I'm enjoying them, and I think I love it. I'm really confused.
You're not sure, though.
Well, I like it because it's David Lynch and it's Twin Peaks, and I loved that show so much before, only 2 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So last night I started binge watching the originals, which before you watch the new ones, I would strongly suggest you catch up on the old ones.
Yeah.
I think there are 8 episodes in the first season, and I don't know how many in the second, so there aren't a ton.
Right.
But it's better if you watch the old ones first, because characters are brought back that you may not have remembered.
A lot of time has passed.
Yeah, it is so out there, Bill.
So did they have to up the weirdness? Because the original was very peculiar, but I would imagine that just to live up to that legend, they'd have to outdo themselves and make it even stranger, right?
Yeah, because there was, oddly enough, a plot in the original series, because you're trying to find out who killed Laura Palmer.
Right.
And
it wasn't me, by the way.
No, but I'm surprised you're not in the reboot, Nicolas Cage, because everybody and his uncle is in the reboot.
Oh, and his uncle is
Milton Berle. No, Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Thank you. I know some things, but there is no real plot that I'm aware of in the new one.
Oh, really? They're just weird for being weird? They're just walking around being strange and there's no real plot?
I guess there's a plot that has thickened
yeah.
since the original.
Yeah.
But it's just out there.
Yeah. All right. I'll find it. You know what starts tonight on Spike TV?
What?
And I didn't even know. How awful is this? We now live in a world where you could have a cable network on your system and not even know. I read about this. I'm like, oh, I wish I had Spike TV.
You do?
And I do. I didn't know I had it. So good. All right. Years ago, Stephen King wrote a short story called The Mist, and they turned this into a movie. Frank Darabont, who's done a bunch of other Stephen King movies over the years, and the first season of Walking Dead, made a movie version of The Mist with Thomas Jane, and it's fantastic. It's one of the best horror movies of all time. So now they call it a reimagining of the story because it has nothing to do with the original story, but it's kind of what happens to the town around where the mist takes place. So it's all new characters, nobody from the original story, nobody from the original movie, but it's all the characters that lived around the mist when it came in. And I watched clips of it. I've not seen the first one because the first one airs tonight. It's 10 episodes. I'm hoping so bad it's half as good as the movie.
So do I need to see the movie first?
Yeah.
See, that sucks.
You need to see the movie first. But you know what? DVR it tonight. Trevor Van Riemsdyk. DVR it tonight, and then get the movie. I'll lend you the movie.
I can find it somewhere.
You can find it?
You can find anything, because last night I had said to my boys, Bill told me to watch The Mothman Prophecies.
Prophecy. Yeah.
And I said, I think it's freaky. I think it might scare us.
Are you
up for movie night later? And we never got around to it. But I'm sure I can even find that. Where I mean, there's so many ways to access movies now.
Right. There is.
And we live near a Family Video, so when all else fails.
Yeah, go there.
If one other person hasn't rented The Mothman Prophecy because you spoke about it.
I did say nice things about it, so you might be on a waiting list.
All right, but now I have to add The Mist to it. I love Stephen King's stuff.
So good. It's just so good.
And when does the new It come out? And that's a feature film, correct?
Yeah.
It looks so good.
It really
does. September, Kevin? Does that sound right?
I'm going to check right now. That does sound right.
Yeah.
I love Stephen King's stuff.
Do you know what else is coming out?
Oh!
There's two other remakes that I just found out about. Right, so number one, we're out of time.
September 8th is when It comes out.
Yeah, September 8th. All right. Number one, a remake of The Beguiled, which is an old Clint Eastwood movie where he's a soldier in the South, and he comes along this... it's like a plantation, but it's all women because all the guys are off fighting in the Civil War. So they just remade that. With an incredible cast.
Nicolas Cage?
No, I'm not in this one.
Bummer, dude.
Because there's no explosives, and I like explosives. So
Nicole Kidman?
Nicole Kidman is in it. Elle Fanning is in it. Do you know who she is?
Yes.
Dakota Fanning's younger sister.
Yes. She's
been in a bunch of movies. Colin Farrell he's the only guy in it. It was Clint Eastwood in the original. The original is so eerie. So now they've remade that. So that's coming out in like a week or two. And then, this is like a dream come true, Murder on the Orient Express. There's a new version of that with an all-star cast.
They've officially run out of ideas in Hollywood, haven't they?
In both of those cases, I would say you didn't need to remake these movies, but as long as you did, I'll watch them and I'll let you know what you think. Because those are two great movies. I hope they're both good remakes.
All right, well, I will look forward to that.
We're all out of time, and there's a bomb that's going to go off.
Oh, no. Can you disable it?
No, there's no time to disable it.
You're turning into Bill of Bill and Ted.
When you think about it, their voices are incredibly similar.
Piano.
I hear a little George W. in there as well.
George W. Bush?
A little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
Talk about explosions. All right, so that's it. That's it for today's show. Tomorrow's show is the Friday show. The show you dream about all week long.
Oh, my God, tomorrow is Friday.
Tomorrow's Friday. I'm not making this up.
I've been a day off all week.
No, tomorrow's Friday.
So this is to our benefit.
Yeah. All right. So tune in then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.